I would like to begin by explaining why we chose for the Fatima Conference theme, "And the Word Was Made Flesh." This year, 2025, marks the 1,700th year of the Council of Nicaea in 325. When I finish this sermon, we will begin with the Nicene Creed. The Nicene Creed composed 1,700 years ago. The beautiful thing about the Nicene Creed is that it goes into great detail about who Christ was, the Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God of God, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father. We also know that at the end of the creed, we believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. The Council of Nicaea was to condemn Arius, who denied the divinity of Christ. Pope Saint Sylvester is the pope who confirmed the decrees of the Council of Nicaea. Also, just a little side note, it was at the Council of Nicaea that Pope Saint Sylvester once and for all established the celebration of Easter, the Sunday following the first full moon of the vernal equinox. Prior to that, there had been different celebration in parts of the church, coming from St. John, from St. John to St. Polycarp, to St. Polycarp to St. Irenaeus, where St. John allowed the converted Jews to celebrate it, not on the Sunday, but prior to that. And this had been something that had gone around within the church, and the Council of Nicaea finalized the celebration of Easter. Why do I say this? It is because these are historical facts. Long before they were Greek and Russian Orthodox, long before they were Protestants, there was one holy Catholic apostolic church. The Council of Nicaea was not the first to use the word Catholic to identify the Church of Christ. St. Ignatius of Antioch, second successor after St. Peter, who went from Jerusalem to Antioch and then from Antioch to Rome, St. Ignatius of Antioch identifies the Church of Christ as the Catholicos Ecclesia, the Catholic Church, the Universal Church. Tomorrow we celebrate the Feast of the Divine Maternity of the Blessed Virgin. This was established by Pope Pius XI in 1931. That was to celebrate the 1,500th year of the Council of Ephesus. The Council of Ephesus condemned Nestorius, who erroneously, heretically taught that Christ was two different people, and therefore Mary was only the mother of the man, but not the divine person. No, Jesus Christ is one person with two natures. The redemption of mankind required that. In order to make infinite satisfaction to God who was offended, only a divine person could do that. But man had sinned, man needed to suffer. And that is the reason why in the creed we say, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and the Word was made flesh. Only the God-man, one person with two natures, could redeem us, to suffer and die and to make infinite atonement. Very closely associated with this is that Mary is the mother of God, the mother of Jesus Christ. You know, St. Cyril of Alexandria at the Council of Ephesus in 431 He beautifully explained this by using a comparison of man. We know that we have parents, a mother and a father. They are responsible for our body, but it is Almighty God who creates our immortal soul and infuses that into us. Our souls are immortal and created by God. But we don't say, that's the father of my body, that's the mother of my body. We say, no, that's my dad, that's my father, that's my mother. We don't try to make those distinctions. And so when the Word was made flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, Mary indeed was the mother of that person. Obviously not responsible for his divine nature, she was a creature. But it was from our Blessed Mother that the Word was made flesh. How beautiful it is to be Catholic, to belong to the one true Church of Christ, and to have this history, to be able to establish that truly indeed there's only one church that emanated from Christ, the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church. I also think today, also with regard to our Blessed Mother, we have this Fatima Conference in the 1960s. We ask ourselves, why did Mary, the Mother of God, come to Fatima in 1917? She came as our mother. We know how a mother loves her children.
When I think of our Blessed Mother, the Mother of God, my own spiritual
mother, we look over the altar and see the Mother of God stood at the foot of the cross as we had today's gospel. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. You know, there's nothing like a mother's love and I'd like to give you one simple example. We have a very young family. I had the wedding for them maybe about 12 years ago, 13 years ago. They have a lot of little children. They live out in a country farm, several acres, and they have a creek, a little river running right behind their property. It was winter time, and so this mother was doing some cooking in the afternoon, and not only were her boys, little children, out playing, but their cousins were over. They walked down to the creek. They saw something on the other side of the creek. The creek was frozen, the water was frozen, and not really knowing how thick the ice was, they crossed and they fell through. About the same time, probably was her guardian angel, the oldest girl, she was like 8 or 9, she was wondering, where is my brothers, where is my cousins? She walked down to the creek and saw that they had fallen through. She immediately ran home and said, Mom, the boys fell in the creek. They fell through the ice. This mother had no coat, no hat, no shoes, barefoot. She ran in a panic across a very cold, hard field, down through some woods, and broke right through the ice and pulled every one of those kids out. Her motherly instinct kicked in. Those kids would not have lasted. The water was cold. You start to lose the feelings in your legs and arms. Even though it wasn't too deep, for these little boys it was very deep. They would have certainly drowned. Our Blessed Mother came at Fatima, and what was her biggest concern? So many souls go to hell because there's no one to pray and to sacrifice for them. I have come to ask mankind to amend and must cease offending God who is already so much offended. War is a punishment for sin. If my requests are not heeded, Russia will spread her errors. And we see all of these things over 100 years later, totally verified. More souls go to hell for sins of the flesh than for any other reason. Many styles will be introduced that will gravely offend my divine Son. Our Blessed Mother's message at Fatima is more relevant today than ever before. How important it is that we heed our Blessed Mother's message. Pray the rosary faithfully every day. wear her brown scapular. That is a sign of our love and consecration to the Mother of God. I'll tell you a little story. I remember when I made my first Holy Communion in 1966. We were a huge class of kids making our first communion, and we were going to be enrolled in a brown scapular. I was so excited. And on the table where the priest was going to bless the scapulars, the brown scapulars with the white cords connecting the two scapulars, that was for the girls. The cords with the brown...
And the scapulars
for the boys. And a panic came over my heart and soul. They were running out of boy scapulars. And I was like, thinking in my mind, come on, sister, couldn't you count how many boys and girls? Couldn't you get this straight? Come on. They're going to put a girl scapular on me? I can't remember. That was like, 60 years ago. And I prayed, Lord, please help me get that boy scapular. And if I got a girl scapular, man, I'm sticking it in my shirt as fast as I can. No one's going to see me wearing this girl scapular. Well, let me tell you this. There's no such thing as boy scapular, girl scapular, okay? That's a fact. Well, one thing I do know, I always carry a packet of scapulars in my pocket. And I try to distribute those to Catholics wherever I can. Same thing with the green scapular of Our Lady. Our Blessed Mother promised conversion. I'll keep a couple of rosaries on me, and when we have an opportunity, pass out the rosary. And why do I say this? For people to be able to understand why they're here on earth, to understand the situation of the world, to understand the situation of the church, they need God's grace. And they're going to get that by prayer, especially praying the rosary. The rosary beautifully combines mental prayer with vocal prayer. Let us remember that the battle today is between Satan and the woman. And Satan's head is crushed by the woman. And our Blessed Mother said at Fatima, which should be a consolation for all of us, in the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. When I look at the congregation here, we have our three bishops. Well, we're so grateful that they came to this Fatima conference. I very much appreciate their presence. We have our priests, our religious, our laity here from all over the country, some other countries as well. This is a fulfillment of our Blessed Mother's promise. In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph. Why? Because no matter what Satan did to try to destroy the church, the gates of hell will never prevail. And I believe it is our Blessed Mother's singular victory, crushing Satan's head, that no matter how clever he tried to orchestrate his seed, communists, Freemasons, the enemies of the church, to destroy the church, he will never succeed. The gates of hell will not prevail. Don't for a minute think that Satan is going to let us off easy. He's going to attack us on every angle that he can to have us destroy our souls. How important it is that we avoid occasions of sin. How important it is that we live a life of grace, always in a state of sanctifying grace. How important it is that we pray our prayers every day and wear the brown scapular. And that we have recourse to our spiritual mother, the Mother of Jesus, the Mother of God. Let us never, ever give in to discouragement or depression. Our Blessed Mother loves us more than we can ever imagine. She knows the price that her Divine Son paid when he hung on the cross to shed his blood for our redemption. And that's why she loves us with such a vehement and tender love. And as our Blessed Mother said when she appeared to Juan Diego, "Am I here, not your loving mother? Are you not in the folds of my arms and in the folds of my mantle?" Our Blessed Mother loves us. Let us love our mother, and let us do our very best to always, always, always foster that love and devotion to her. And in doing so, we are fulfilling prophecy. Right in sacred scripture, our Blessed Mother said in the Gospel of St. Luke, henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.